Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Here it is, bright and early. Sunday, December 5th. It's nice and sunny outside, about an inch and a half of snow. Those of you listening in warmer climates, you're missing the beautiful white stuff. It is pretty now that it's not falling. Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about God calling us to come away and to spend time with Him. We're going to start off in Mark 6. Mark 6 describes a day, or actually maybe a couple of days, it doesn't really say, but a time that Max Lucado says is got to be the second most stressful day in Jesus' life. Most stressful day, of course, being crucified and all that led up to that. But on this day, Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes into Nazareth and he's rejected in his hometown. Then he sends his disciples out, gives them power over demons and power to heal, and sends them out. And then John the Baptist gets killed. And the disciples come back. Verse where we're going to start, chapter 6, Mark 6, verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a desert place in the boats by himself. They have been out in ministry. They have been out working. They have been out showing them just being faithful and doing what God has called them to do. And as they've gone out, Jesus comes. As they come back, Jesus says, "Come aside. You need to rest. Come aside." So they get in the boat and they go to go off, and the people nearby see what's happening, and they decide they're going to follow him. So by the time they get where they were going, the crowd is already there. This is the day they fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. Same day. Rejected in his hometown, sent the disciples out. His cousin John the Baptist beheaded. They come back to tries to get his disciples an opportunity just to rest and to come aside. And then the people keep following him and hounding him. And it's 5,000 men plus women and children. Jesus taught them and Jesus fed them and sent them away again. Verse 45. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. Then he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when the evening was come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Jesus had told the disciples, "Come aside, come away and rest. You need to sit down and be quiet for a while." They've been pouring out what Jesus had poured into them. He wanted them to come aside and refresh. Come aside and be refilled. And they weren't able to do it because the crowd would follow them. But when it was over, Jesus put them in the boat, and he went up to the mountain to pray. You know what this night is. This is the night when Jesus got done praying. He walked on the water out to them there in the middle of the storm. They still didn't get a chance to come to have any rest. But we're called, sometimes God calls us to come aside, to come away, to get out of what you're doing and take time to get grounded and take time to just to know who you are and know who you are in relationship with the Lord. Jesus himself, after having poured out, had to get away to be with the Father, had to get away to pray. If Jesus had to leave what he was doing and go and spend time with the Father, I think we do too. Don't you? He calls us to come away. In Psalm 31, beginning with verse 19, it says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. When we get away from all the things that are weighing us down, and we get away from our everyday, when we get away from the turmoil and the plodding and just, oh, it's another day. How come every day has got to be like this? When we get away from that to spend time with God, it says He shields us. He hides us in the secret place of His presence from the plots of men. Oh Lord, we need You to shield us, but we have to get away to do that. Not necessarily physically, though physically is a good plan. But we need to find a time to get away from all of the things that are just stacking up. I say this, Deb and I were gone basically the whole month of November. And it was good. It was good. Being around you guys is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I love you. I love being here. God has placed us here. There's no doubt in our minds. This is exactly where we are supposed to be. But to be able to get away from other things that concern us and just rest. Get away from other things that weigh us down and just spend time together. Just spend time alone. Deb and I are both retired. We spend a lot of time together, but we don't get to spend a lot of time away from the things that are an everyday chores, the things that just weigh on us. And each of us have those things in our life that it's a plodding. It's normal, but we need to get away from that sometimes. And though we're not going there, in Psalm 91, all of those promises about, you know, you will not be afraid of the arrow that flieth by day, you know, all of these things, that the calamities, the plagues and the pestilence and all of these things that the Lord protects us with, starts with, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We have to have that relationship with the Lord where He is our fortress, He is our strength, for all of those things to not bother us. Because otherwise, the day-to-day things just kind of weigh us down, and we lose sight of the fact that we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, who has us in the palm of His hands. And we get distracted by the things going on. Oh, I got to go to work today. I got to do this. I got to do whatever. I have all this honey-do list or whatever the case is. These things that are weighing on me, these things that are grabbing onto my time, that if I focus on them and not on the Lord, it becomes a drudgery. Life becomes a drudgery. Life becomes a burden. But when we trust in the Lord, He gives us the strength. They that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, help us to wait on You and to spend time in Your presence, to spend time getting alone with You. Because when we do that, He restores our soul. He restores our strength. He makes us able to run through a troop. By my God, I can jump over a wall. I can do the things that come into my life, the things that are a burden, the things that are on my list that I have to do. But I can do it because first, I've spent time coming away to be with the Lord. First, I've spent time in His presence. First, I've spent time drawing close to Him. 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 1. Anybody remember 1 Kings 18? Don't remember 1 Kings 18? 1 Kings 18 starts with Elijah sitting up on a hilltop. And the armies of the king say, King says, you better come here. And they tried to get him. And fire fell from heaven and got him. And then the next group came and said the same thing. And fire came from heaven. And I don't remember if it was the third or the fourth captain that came, but he said, whoa, wait a minute. Lord, you know, I really, really, really don't want to do this, but my king is commanding it. Please let my life be precious in Your sight and the lives of my men be precious in Your sight. Please come with us because the king is commanding it. And Elijah said, tell you what, meet me on Mount Carmel. 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asheroth, meet me there, and we're going to see who is God. That's That's 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 19, right after calling down fire from heaven, right after the God answering from fire and devouring the sacrifice and the stones and the wood and the water. And then Elijah praying again, and the skies opened up and the rain coming. And after Elijah outrunning the chariots, after all of that, chapter 19 shows up. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow at this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And as he lay there and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Does anybody believe God didn't know what was going on with Elijah? God called Elijah so he could pour out his heart. "Oh, Lord, I am the only one left standing for you." God says, "No, you're not. Not even close." We have to get away to be with the Lord. Even after all the wonderful things, the demonstrating the power of God before all of Israel and declaring, "If Jehovah be God, serve him. The one who answers by fire, he is God." If he had done all of that, yet even in ministry, even doing what God has called us to do, sometimes it weighs on us and we need to get away. It weighs on us and we lose sight of what's going on. Jezebel said, "You did it to them, I'm going to do it to you by tomorrow." And he ran for his life, Scripture says. And God said, "Okay," sent the angel to encourage him. "Here, something to eat and something to drink. Oh, no, you need to get up and have some more because you don't have enough strength." And he got away, and he got away, and he got aside with the Lord. And the first thing God says is, "Why are you here?" When we get aside with the Lord, we need to tell him what's on our heart. Yes, we know that God knows. God knows everything that's going on in our lives. Yet he calls us to an intimacy. He calls us to a relationship. He calls us to a sharing, a bearing our hearts. He sees it anyway. Why don't we tell him? That relationship that he's called us into. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we lose sight of what it is that God is calling us to. The relationship, the intimacy that God is calling us to. But we have the answer in Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 2, beginning with verse 8. "The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. And my beloved spoke and said to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away.'" You know that God loves us so much. Wants a relationship with us so much. He's called us. We know in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, But he didn't just send Jesus to die for our sin. He sent Jesus to die for our sin to pay the price that we might come in fellowship, in relationship with him. Come aside. Rise, verse 10, my beloved one spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. God calls us into relationship. God calls us into a deeper, more intimate, closer relationship. And if we don't take the time to come away, if we don't take the time to get away from the distractions and the things that weigh us down, if we don't take that time to seek His face, we can never rise up in His strength. We can never enter into that secret place of the Most High if we don't bother to go. If we don't bother to make it a priority to seek His face and draw close to Him. Verse 14, O my love, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliffs, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. God calls us to an intimate relationship with Him to seek His face. He desires that. Adam gave away that intimacy in the garden. The Spirit of God walked with them in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. And then after the sin, as they hid themselves and they made the fig leaves, the clothing from fig leaves, and the voice of the Lord came in the garden and said, Adam, where are you? What happened? Why did you go away? He's called us into that. Just as the relationship here spoken of in Song of Solomon. Come away, my fair one. Come away, my love. God loves us so much. And He calls us into that. He calls us into that relationship. We need to take the time to come away, to come aside to a quiet place where we can rest, to come aside to seek His face, to come aside to the secret place that God has for us. He calls us to it. And all so often, we get distracted. All too often, it's the day-to-day event. All too often, it's, okay, you know, I get up, I go to work, I come home, I eat, I go to bed, I get up, I go to work, I come. No. Take the time. Find the time. Make the time. God calls us to Himself. Jesus shed His blood on a cross to pay the price for our sins, that we might come in relationship with this kind of love. Come aside, my love, my fair one. I want to spend time with you. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love and for your grace that you reach into our hearts and you draw us by your Spirit, that you have a plan and purpose for our lives, that you are at work in the circumstances even, and everything. Every situation, your word says you cause it all to work together for good to those who love you, to those who are the called according to your purpose. But you call us to love you, and we love you because you loved us first. You opened the door. You made the way. And when we look upon your holiness, when we look upon your beauty, when we look upon your grace, when we look upon who you are, we recognize that in and of ourselves there is absolutely nothing that qualifies us to stand in your presence. Yet you made the way. And call us to that intimacy, to call us into your grace, to call us into your arms. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. Give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.